We're going to start this morning, though, by talking with the Minister for Children, Disability and Equality, Minister Norma Foley, who's the Fianna Fáil TD for Kerry. Minister Foley, good morning to you and thanks for joining us in the programme.
Good morning, Gerry.
Now, can I deal with, I suppose, on the issue of your own department, €619 million increase in funding for disability services. However, there's strong criticism coming from activists in this particular area. They're very disappointed with the lack of funding on the social welfare side for people with disabilities. So have you given with one hand and taken away with the other?
Look, Gerry, you're quite correct. In terms of disability, €3.8 billion for my own department now, more than half of the allocation for the Department of Children and Disability goes directly into disability. And on the ground, what that actually means is that there will be an increase in the provision of service. So that's, you know, 10,000 extra respite nights, 15,000 extra respite days, bringing to over 250,000, you know, the sessions in respite that are available. It also means that there will be, you know, an increase in home support hours and personal assistance hours by 150,000 hours a week, bringing it to more than 5.5 million hours that are being made available. And there are other elements as well, whether it's, you know, increasing, you know, day services, another 1,400 additional places in day services. Very importantly, our children's disability network teams will increase by 150 additional staff. And to balance that as well, there have to be, you know, training opportunities. So working with the Department of Further and Higher to ensure that we've more staff come, you know, more trained up individuals who can take up these positions. So we have, and I think it has been acknowledged, I think, because I have heard, the disability groups out acknowledging that this has been a really positive step forward in terms of the areas that I have direct responsibility for in specialist disability care. It's been a really positive step forward. It's part of the National Human Rights Strategy for Disabled People that I launched just recently, that we would seek to improve over 5 budgets, not just this budget, but over 5 budgets, services directly on the ground for disabled people. Now, specifically, you've referenced the issues around social protection and the Department of Social Protection and the supports that they're providing. Again, that will be over, you know, 5 budgets. And so to begin the process...
So you're asking disabled people to wait. I mean, the majority of disabled people do not access the services you're talking about. While they're welcome for those who access, they'll see little benefit from the additional investment. There was no cost of disability payment, which was recommended by advocacy groups for years now to try and help people who are in poverty because of their disability, who cannot work because of their disability. And they're saying you're ignoring them. And a lack of one-off payments added to that then, which will make it much more difficult this year even than it was last year for people with disabilities. Okay.
No, actually, the point I'm making is that within my own department, there's responsibility for an enhancement or delivery of services. We're doing that by a 20% increase, over €500 million. In fact, over €600 million additional is going into respite, residential, all various aspects. And I have always said that disability has been underfunded in this country. So that's why I'm saying this is the first step, and it will have to increase year on year over 5 budgets. But specifically, the issues you raise fall within the Department of Social Protection. And the point I'm making in relation to the Department of Social Protection, they have said that incrementally over the 5 years, they will look at all aspects of disability payments. To begin that process, there's a €10 increase in disability allowance. Carers, and it's just in terms of the carers as well, hugely important. So much of the work that's been done by family members and others caring for individuals, the income disregards there have increased to €1,000 for a single person, €2,000 for a couple, and setting the trajectory so that we can do, as government said, over the lifetime of government, wipe out the means test for our carers. That process is now beginning in this budget. In terms of the fuel allowance, you know, an activation for work, there is now in this budget an acknowledgement that if somebody takes up work, somebody with a disability takes up work, they will hold on to the fuel allowance for 5 years. Also, very important in terms of work activation, the wage subsidy scheme, very significant prior even to the budget, supports for employers who will support people with disabilities working in the workforce, and very significant increases in payments for them as well, and supports. So it's about no one budget could do everything in one fell swoop overnight. It's about setting the agenda. And indeed, I think I'd have to acknowledge, you know, disability organisations have said, in terms of the budget in my own department,
yeah,
it's a very positive step forward.
And they'll hope that more services get to more people as a result of that. But would you reject, you're rejecting so the accusation that's been levelled at you that you didn't learn the lesson from the last election, when disability became a big weak point for your party and Fine Gael, that you had left people with disabilities behind previously and they were angry, and it came true in some of the key issues that happened during this election, that you haven't lived up to your promise, saying, yes, we've learned a lesson, we're going to start delivering straight away. You're asking them to wait.
No, that's not true, Jerry. I'm not asking them to wait. I think increasing home support hours and, we'll say, personal assistant hours to 5.5 million hours, you know, that's people who will benefit from that. Equally so, as I said, improving, we'll say, respite nights and respite day to 250,000 sessions. That's progress. It will never be possible to do it all in one budget. And that's not just me saying it. I heard them this morning, disability organisations taking to the airwaves, where they very specifically said that they very positively welcomed the increase, specifically into my own department, in terms of delivery of services. We will have to do more as we go on. But this has been an unprecedented, over €500 million going directly into disability services. €3.8 billion. We've never, ever had money of that level. And it is meant to represent what the phrase that has become common now is to begin the step change in disability, specifically in relation to social welfare. I heard the minister himself, Minister Cleary, say
he's promising he'll do something, have a meeting in October and hopefully deliver things then, but we'll have to wait and see on that.
In terms of cost of disability, and he has
that
begun
payment,
that process
not delivered.
In terms of carers, increase in disability payments, increase in wage subsidies to support people taking up employment. It can never all be done in one budget. That's why a government is elected to serve
Minister,
5 years.
Minister, answer me this. This has been called the Big Mac budget. It's been called the takeaway budget. It's been called the Burger Baron budget. One listener gets in touch this morning and says, tell me, will the 680 million VAT cut for hospitality for food, will this end the rip-off prices, or will we, the customers, ever see the benefit of such amount of money being given to one particular sector while others are ignored? What's your response to that?
Well, specifically in terms of the VAT 9 cut, that's really, really good news for Kerry. And I think we need to say that. We are a hospitality county. We are a tourism county. And the whole purpose of this budget really has been to secure society. We're now living in a world of international economic turbulence, if you like, times of tariffs and unpredictability and all of that. So the purpose of this budget is to secure society, to secure jobs. That's securing job measure. Build homes, build schools, enhance hospital services, you know, secure communities. The VAT 9 is to protect jobs in rural Ireland, in counties like ourselves. It's a very significant investment, but it's acknowledging that, you know, small restaurants, cafes, hairdressers, that they need this level of support. There's also other measures specifically for rural Ireland. €15 million for our post office network. So, so important to us. 1,000 additional Garda recruits. And just on that one as well, an increase in funding for you know, the court services, which will include the funding to be announced, is being announced for Tralee Courthouse, another important aspect of life in County Kerry. So I'm really pleased. I had invited Minister Jim O'Callaghan to visit Tralee. He came to Tralee and saw the situation with the courthouse, and the funding is now secured for Tralee Courthouse.
So what community was that? What is delivered for Tralee Courthouse? How much and when?
The funding, and to be fair to Minister O'Callaghan, that will, the detail will be announced by him later today in terms of court services and building and all of that. But I can confirm that the funding is in place for Tralee Courthouse. I can also confirm other supports from my own department in terms of community supports. There will be additional community supports in the area of family resource centres. So important right across the country. An additional 10 family resource centres. So the focus on this budget has been to ensure that we are protecting jobs for the now and protecting jobs into the future. And just in terms of future planning, I want to say that, you know, significant funding, $24 billion, is now going into the Future Ireland Fund and the Climate and Infrastructure Fund, so that we can say that actually by the end of this government, it'll be something like $40 billion that we will be putting aside for rainy day funds or whatever, you know, phrase people might want to use in it. So we are protecting the now, we're protecting the future.
You're looking to the future. But in terms of the now, and this budget are about decisions, Minister. You made the decision, $680 million for the Vacor hospitality. Some of that is going to some of the biggest companies in Ireland, some of the biggest food companies in Ireland, the McDonald's, the Domino's, Pizza, like, who are all making healthy profits year on year, while ye and you're accused of ignoring people under pressure. 300,000 people in utility arrears in this country, no one-off payments for them while focusing your money on other sectors at their expense, at the expense of the average person out there who gets up every morning, is under pressure, is seeing their cost rising. While inflation is low, the costs are still very high.
Just in terms of, you know, the VAT 9 reduction and what that actually means. And again, look, I've always said it. I've been part of the programme for government negotiations. I have never been behind the door in acknowledging the importance of the VAT 9 being delivered. In terms of it being delivered to the smaller fast food providers and to the larger fast food providers, we have many, many fast food providers right throughout County Kerry, indeed right across the country, who are very, very small operators. Yeah. The local chippies, the whatever the case might be, or, you know, a local family who might be running a local chip burger and chip provision or whatever. Their provision of employment is hugely, hugely important to protect it. Small family enterprises often, and it's not possible to separate the small chip or fast food provider with the large one. Can't be done. And we have a significant number of them. I could name them right across the county of Kerry. Very small family providers who are fast food takeaways. Very, very important in local communities. So their jobs are as important as the jobs of those who are working in the hairdressing section, those who are working in small cafes and small restaurants, because they are the jobs that feed rural Ireland and rural communities, small communities, the length and breadth of Kerry. So I think it has been a very positive step forward for County Kerry to deliver the VAT 9, something I've always wanted, I've always supported it, and I'm really pleased that we're delivering on it. But it's not just that one single measure, as I've said. All the other measures to secure communities and to secure jobs has been the focus of this government.
Okay, tell me this, Minister, is this a budget for developers, the VAT cut on apartment building, and not enough done for homeless people?
Well, again, just in terms of what's been done right across housing, we've never had a more significant housing budget. $11.28 billion is now being invested into a variety of different schemes, schemes that are really important right across this country, whether it's, you know, Help to Buy schemes, the vacancy grant schemes, the first home schemes. These are the schemes that I deal with all the time at home with people who need support as they try to get onto the housing ladder. And I know how difficult that is. But in terms of the VAT reduction for apartments and that, everybody knows at this point the only way we will solve housing is the more we have and the more different types of variety that are offered, but also the different types of schemes. We need more and more and more supply. This is one measure that will ensure we have greater supply in the area of apartments. Hugely important.
So, Minister, can I ask you a key question on all of that? And it goes to the whole budget. Your party colleague, Willie O'Dea, deputy for Fianna Fáil for Limerick, was writing in the Irish Independent at the weekend about our tax system. But he talked about the amount of money that people are paying. And then, as I said, it's €500 worse off people are in terms of what they will pay in their tax, an increase in PRSI. If wages are going up, they'll pay more because nothing was done with the tax bans as well. While at the same time, and he wrote this piece in the column in the Irish Independent, he said people feel that they're paying champagne money and they're for taxes, and they're getting beer money services in response. I know there's a review of how disability services are provided in your department, but right across the board, whether it's health, whether it's housing, whether it's education, there's a perception that our money isn't being spent well or not being managed well. Like, we're in the fortunate position to have surpluses. We have, you know, so-called windfall taxes coming from corporation tax. That won't always be in the case. There will be a day when we're back to cutting services. But while we have the money now, people are feeling the services are not being properly managed. Heads aren't being cracked together. Things that, particularly in our health service, things are not being delivered the way they should be for the amount we're paying in taxes. Is that going to be fixed by your government?
I think the focus, and, you know, we had a discussion earlier about, you know, where the money in this budget is going. It has very much been focused on, as I said, the protection of jobs, the delivery of services. I've already outlined to you, we say, the delivery of services and disability. I can equally, you know, another area, really important one in my own area, is the area of childcare, early years in childcare. And for the first time in this budget, we know that there are challenges right across the sector. We know that great work has been done by those who work in the sector, but we know there are challenges, for example, in terms of accessibility, availability. So for the first time, government is stepping forward and saying there will be state-led or public models, if you like, of provision of childcare. That's in this budget, 700 additional places to be provided for in 2026. And alongside that, continuation of supports in terms of schemes like building blocks and that for private providers to ensure that they can ramp up provision, and equally so, an improvement in the pay that goes to the workers who work in the sector, because no one issue is going to solve the bigger challenge of early years and provision of childcare.
Yeah. So are the people who are going to be 500 euros worse off, just finish, are they going to be getting better services as a result? Because that's a trade-off, isn't it? I pay more taxes, but I get better services.
I just want to finish that point, Jerry, when you talk about services. So it's improved pay for those who work in the early years sector. It will mean there will be an additional 35,000 children availing of childcare. And it will also mean that the fees at the highest level that families pay, that they will be reduced. That's the service. Equally, it's a service in disability when we can say we will increase the number of respite nights, we will increase residential, we will increase the number of staff who are looking after children in the Children's Disability Network teams. That's the service. So it's all focused on key elements of improving services in society. And I referenced early the court's service and the funding in place for Tralee Courthouse. That's the service. Ensuring that we've enough Gardaí in our streets, that's the service. So that's where the focus is in this budget, improving society, securing society, securing jobs, improving services.
Okay, Minister, we're going to have to leave it there all the time, but thanks very much for talking to us in the programme this morning. That is Minister for Disabilities and Children and Equality, Norma Foley. If you have a view on what she had to say in relation to Budget 2026, your own thoughts, your own questions as well, we'll have James Kelleher, Chartered Accountant Partner at Kelleher O'Shea, Chartered Accountants and Registered Auditors. He'll be in studio with us after 10, so get your questions and queries. And we'll be talking to different people from different sectors who are some happy, some unhappy with Budget 2026. We'll get to that and more. We'll be hearing from Sinn Féin TD for Kerry Pad Daily after we take these.
The Budget on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Keller O'Shea, Chartered Accountants and Statutory Auditors, with offices in Tralee and Castle Island.
Yeah, we're talking Budget 2026 on the programme this morning. If you have a view for us on it, get in touch with us on the show on 0667123666. Listener says the price of diesel is the most important thing to reduce. Reduce it by 15 cent a litre. Makes sense. The cost of transport affects everything and can be directly linked to rising food prices, says a listener. Another listener says, not happy with the budget where social welfare rate and pension was increased. No increase in the standard children's allowance. Nothing done for tax-paying families in this cost of living crisis, says a listener. And we've get your questions into us as well this morning on budget specifics or anything like that. James Kelleher, Chartered Accountant, will be here with Kelleher O'Shea at 20 past 10 this morning. So get your questions in for now. But for now, we have Sinn Féin Deputy Pat Daly, spokesperson for the party in climate, environment, energy and transport, with us online. Deputy Daly, good morning to you. And what's your reaction to Budget 2026?
Well, I think people in Kerry woke up this morning and they realised that it's all a big cod. I was, from the people that I've been speaking to, a businessman told me that the only thing that he could see in it was that if you wanted to transfer your business, there's an extra $500,000 if you want to do that. Just listening to the media, and there's very little, this is what they're saying, very little for middle-income earners, and that the government have shifted to builders and investors. And I think that the bluff that has been going on here by the government is actually staggering. They've codded people by giving them by a big giveaway this time last year, and then they took away when there's an energy crisis on and people are struggling with cost of living. All the supports have been ripped away. They're codding students by pretending, third-level students, by telling them that their fees have gone down when actually they've gone up by €500. The LPT increases are coming in right now. The parents who have childcare pressures, the government, Simon Harris, said that within 100 days that something will be done about childcare. We had suggested €10 per day. Nothing has been done. That's more broken promises. And they're cutting drivers in Kerry as well. There's nothing about insurance costs, where corporations here make double and triple what they can elsewhere. And in fact, due to the carbon budgets and the carbon taxes, the costs of fuel actually increased this morning of all time. This morning.
Well, that and always happens,
nothing,
doesn't it?
To
midnight tonight
that.
For the budget. If you bring those things in, excise will go up. It'll go up the next morning. And it's for a reason, isn't it? It's to try
and
retrofit the economy, I mean, and retrofit social housing and provide for a fair and just transition as we try and get to a cleaner and less expensive energy scenario, surely.
We could be here arguing all day about how that money has been gone in retrofitting. It's the wealthier people who can afford it are getting that. The EV cars, it's people, again, who are buying €60,000 cars in Dublin and Cork, and it is not filtering down as much to people on an ordinary wage. And people on an ordinary wage, for example, what we had suggested was for the first 40,000 of your earnings on USC, that would be abolished. It would give people back €750 per year. We had said to keep the energy credits, to extend the reduced VAT. We were saying, obviously, scrap the carbon taxes. We wanted to give 1 month's rent back into people's pockets and have a rent cap. And we wanted, as I said, childcare €10 per day. And we wanted to extend the fuel allowance season. But prices are actually going up, and there's nothing in this budget for middle income earners at all. And
just on the carbon taxes,
but at the same time, just finished on this point, there is no tax cut for workers. But at the same time, developers, following a very specific lobby, are getting $250 million for apartments which are already under construction. So not to encourage them, and I listened with increasing depression to Minister James Brown, the housing minister, this morning on Morning Ireland, and he said that targets don't build houses. And that is, how depressing is that? Because if you don't know where you're going, if you don't have a target as to what you want to do, then you're never ever going to get there. And his new housing plan is coming out,
in a couple of weeks' time.
Next week, but at the end of the month after the presidential election.
We'll see what that happens. But just on that, would Sinn Féin have cut taxes for ordinary workers in this budget? If you had a Minister of Finance, if it was Piers Doherty, would you have cut taxes?
Well, absolutely. We would have taken away the first 40,000 people who were, the first 40,000 of their earnings, we were eliminating the USC. The USC, as everyone will remember, was because of the banks and the Fianna Fáil's management of the economy, we are still paying that tax back. It is not it's not fair for starters. And that would have applied to someone, even if you're earning 100,000, you would have got that back. But then we would have had higher taxes.
Okay.
Than on people.
Are you not then, and your party not falling into the populist trap, Pat Daly, of cutting taxes at a time when the economy is overheating? In fact, it's red hot. The argument from the economists is the last thing you should be doing at the moment is cutting taxes while the economy is going so well. That you should be saving that money and putting that money into services, number one, and saving it for the rainy day, as the government has done, in order to be able to do things like that and give people a break and stave off the worst of the cuts when a crash does come.
knows the answer to your question. We also
we have stayed
consistent that we want to abolish the property tax, but on your second and third homes, that there would be a second home charge and that would be reintroduced. So that if you were getting an energy credit, and what we had said was to give everybody €450. Then that would be taken back on your second and third home. But to answer your question, we know there is a need to manage the public finances, and you mentioned the economy and inflation. So
you pull back on that sort of current expenditure at a time when the economy is flying, so you have the money then to put into capital infrastructure when things are bad. That's the idea. And that's a failure of successive Irish governments for the last 100 years.
Yes.
Like, is this government not showing that they're learning the lesson of the mistakes of the past by deciding, you know what, we're going to tough it out for this year because we need to have money for when things go bad with all the uncertainty that's out there internationally?
You're right. And, you know, I was listening to Minister Norma Foley there. She was mentioning all of the schemes in relation to housing. And the fundamental difference, and I've said this before, between our attitude, let's say, to housing and the government's is, they say, and Norma reiterated it this morning, the more housing we have, the better it gets. The more supply you put into the market, the better it will be. That is totally and utterly, in my view, incorrect. We need more social and affordable housing. And you mentioned, yes, the capital infrastructure, put capital into more social and affordable housing. So, for example, this current plan, there will be more affordable housing. Yes, on the docks
of
Dublin.
And more affordable apartments. A lot of them are being delivered by social housing companies funded by the government at the moment.
But is there going to be any more affordable housing in Kerry? There won't be. And, for example, I spoke to somebody who deals with housing in West Kerry. So the whole of West Kerry for social housing, there hasn't been not one three-bedroom house has become available in social housing in the whole of West Kerry for about 2 years. Not in the last 18 months, there hasn't been one available for anyone who has gone through a separation, for example, and needs a house, is on the social housing list for years, has children. It isn't there. So after the legacy of 15 years of Fine Gael, is that what we have is one-fifth of children are in poverty, there's 6,000 children homeless, and there are 300,000 people in energy arrears. And I get what people are saying about energy credits, and but this is an emergency measure. Because so many people are in arrears, they would have, ideally, I suppose they would have been better 2 or 3 years ago, 4 years ago, putting all those billions into a proper retrofitting to get everybody's houses up to speed.
They're arguing that carbon taxes will help with that. Just on that carbon tax position that you have, why you say to critics of Sinn Féin that you're hypocritical, positioning yourselves as pro the environment, pro climate, but opposed to carbon taxes?
No, but it's a question of what you do with the choices that you make with the money that you are making available. So, for example, they're putting they have the network charges, PSO levies, and what are they doing with that money? It is skewed, and the recent budgets will show that there is more of a break for the larger energy users like data centres. And what we have at the moment is that all of the extra capacity that has come in from renewable energy, from wind and from solar, it's all been gobbled up by the large data or the large energy users. So that is not the way to. We would help people out, help people who are especially middle income earners who are paying their extra LPT, who are paying their extra. Who paid all those extra diesel charges and fuel charges from this morning, help them out. There is nothing in the budget for the people who are struggling for the cost of living. And that
Let me ask you this. You've aimed, two brief things to get to. You've aimed strong criticism at Deputy Minister Michael and Deputy Danny Healy-Ray for their support of this budget over particularly the carbon tax and the fuel increase that's come in this morning.
Michael and Danny Healy-Ray, when they were in the rural independent group, they actually brought a motion to the Dáil to scrap the carbon tax. In the motion, they said that it was a regressive tax, they said that it was hurting people most in struggling with the cost of living. And what they said that Michael Healy-Ray said this in his speech at the time, that they let the message go out from Dáil Éireann, from the floor of this house, that the people, that Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael will not be trusted because of what they're doing about the carbon tax. I wonder how do they feel about that now, when the because of carbon taxes, people in Kerry who probably have to drive to work and to college and to school more than anybody else in the whole country because of our peripherality, they are the ones who are feeling the pinch because of the support that is now being given. And I'm not leaving the other two TDs in the county off the hook by any means either. But they are proceeding with supporting the carbon taxes, and nothing has been done. Even if they were going to keep on going with the carbon tax, then alleviate okay. it.
Are you not, though, engaging, as he has said, in doublespeak with criticism of this budget? Your party leader promised a 9% VAT rate for hospitality. This government have delivered it, but yet you're voting against the government.
We before the election last year and in our alternative budget, we agreed that speaking to people in hospitality, in Kerry in particular, that we would reduce the VAT rate for hospitality sector, not for hotels, for hospitality sector to 9%. We know, however, we were supportive of a minimum wage increase. So we also said that then there should be a PRSI rebate in order to support the businesses because of the minimum wage was being increased bit by bit towards the living wage. So we think that workers should be paid because everybody knows, let's face it now, everybody knows that any reduction in VAT, and you know, restaurant owners will tell me this, that it's not going to be passed on to the workers, but there's something should be done then to help.
It might keep the workers in their jobs for longer, though. All right, final word. You want to say a word? I know it's something you won't welcome, and that is the funding for Tralee Courthouse. Certainly not as it is at the moment. Brief word on that.
If you look at in the budget, what's specifically there for Kerry? There's no mention of the Killarney bypass. There's mention in the budget of special regeneration areas for town centres. So you have towns like Letterkenny and Sligo. Where's Tralee in that? Towns that are smaller in size.
But the courthouse itself, we're short on time. The courthouse itself.
I had to laugh, and I met people from the court service last week. The bald facts are that the money is not there for Tralee Courthouse, and there is money now after 11 years after the Denny site was given over, and about, is it four or five since the council, mistakenly in my view, voted to give them the site. There is money now for some pre-planning work. So there is.
So you're saying it's not money for the courthouse, as claimed by Minister for Children and Disabilities this morning, that the money is there? And the detail will come today.
No. That's more cod now, if that's what's being put out there. A courthouse is going to cost you about 25 million to build, right? I have, as you probably know, said refurbish the courthouse and build
buy the property
on
beside
Edward
it.
Street
on the but new you're
site.
Saying this oh, won't be 25 million to deliver the courthouse. It'll just be money for pre-planning to move it on to the next stage.
It will not deliver the courthouse, the money that they put it. It's for pre-planning. So
Deputy
they haven't
Padilla,
even got organised enough to do the pre-planning work up to now. Incredible.
Okay. We'll have to leave it there, Deputy Padilla. We'll try and get the detail on that from the Minister for Justice. If you have a view on what Padilla said, get in touch. We'll be hearing from Minister Michael Leary after 10. We'll hear from businesses next.
The Budget on Radio Kerry. Brought to you in association with Keller O'Shea, Chartered Accountants and Statutory Auditors, with offices in Tralee and Castle Island.
Keep your comments, views and opinions coming into us on the show, 0667123666. You can text and WhatsApp us on 083 300 3300. You can email kerrytoday@radiokerry.ie and get your comments and your views into us for the budget. If you have any specific questions, then get them into us now for our budget special and our budget questions answered just after 10 o'clock, 20 past 10 or so. James Kelleher, Chartered Accountant and Partner at Kelleher O'Shea, will be here to answer your questions. Now, talking about the hospitality industry in Kerry, how are they feeling after budget 2026? Well, the owner of Randall's Hotel Killarney, is Tom Randall's. He's with me here in studio. Tom, good morning to you and thanks for joining me this morning. Look, what's your view on what was done? The 13.5 for food-led hospitality comes down to 9%.
Good morning, Gerry. Generally, the Hotels Federation are happy to see the rate on food come down. It doesn't overly benefit the hotel sector, but it does benefit society overall. It's very important. I mean, I personally see coffee shops, restaurants, they've had a really hard 2 and 3 years of it. So we're, you know, and as a tourism county in particular, we need a fabric of coffee shops and restaurants. So it is very good for the coffee shops and restaurants. And for hotels, we need that. And, you know, we are delighted to have the reduction in the VAT and food. We have seen an increase in minimum wage, which, you know, we're very happy to pay our employees well, but the increase in minimum wage
adds to your costs
and it far outlies any benefit in the VAT. But we're happy to see the reduction of VAT come down to 9%, which I would remind you that 9% is the normal food VAT rate throughout Europe. This normalises our tax rate.
9 or 10% is like the tourist tax, if you call it that, across most European countries.
For food specifically, it's between 9 and 9.5, so it puts us in that bracket of being 20. At 13%, we're a gross outlier. So again, if we want to give our visitors and the people of the country, if we want to give them better value, we have to have taxes that are in line with our competitors.
Would you have liked to have seen something on the other side of it for hotels, smaller hotels in particular?
It's a very tricky one to do. I mean, you can't apply one VAT rate to one business and a different VAT rate to another business. It would just create chaos. It creates unfair competition. So I don't think it's possible to do it. You know what I mean? There is this idea that you could do it here and do it there and do it outside of Dublin, not do it in Dublin. I'm not here on behalf of the Revenue Commissioners, but I don't see how that would be feasible.
Okay. Would you have liked to see them do something on the accommodation side for accommodation providers?
Absolutely, we would have, but it's not something that the Hotels Federation have looked for. You know, we appreciate that it's the food service or regional coffee shops or restaurants. We appreciate that that's where the requirement was, and we're very happy that it's gone that way.
Will it keep some of them open between now and next March?
You know, I had a coffee this morning before I came in here, and I spoke to the owner who was there serving me coffee, and it's definitely a help. You know what I mean? It's coffee shops and restaurants have had 5 years of increase. So this is the first decrease in one of their input costs. So I mean, it certainly helps. You know what I mean? And I think of, you know, a small coffee booth up in the train station, or every summer in Dinah's Cottage, a food and beverage operation opens up. And, you know, 4% is 4%. So I think it is quite a lot. And I think if we look at Kerry, which is a regional county with a lot of seasonal business, I think it is a fair enough. It's a start. It's not perfect, but it's a start.
Okay. What about the criticism that this is a burger baron's budget? That, you know, McDonald's, big massive franchises will benefit the same as the small coffee shop on the corner?
Well, believe it or not, both the McDonald's in Tralee and Killarney, both McDonald's in Kerry are owned by a Kerry family. So that 4% reduction stays in Kerry. McDonald's don't increase their franchise cost. They don't increase their product cost. That 4% is staying in Kerry. So, you know, and I think it's very easy to talk about the Starbucks or the McDonald's, but I mean, I know there's a very good chip and fish shop down at Temple No Pier, and he's there every evening, Mr. Wharton, and he's there every evening serving food in his own. So I think this 4% to Wharton's and the Pier and Temple No is going to be very important. So I don't think we should be focusing in on the two McDonald's are in the county of Kerry.
Yeah. Will prices come down on menus as a result of this in those restaurants, in those cafes?
Not immediately, but when prices are built, they're built on a number of factors. And, you know, at the end of the year, at the beginning of the year, when you look at your input costs, if some of them are down, you say, right, you know what, the coffee is not going to go from 350 to 375. That 4% allows me to keep the coffee at 350. So while it might bring costs down, it might stabilise costs a little bit more. It might allow for somebody to say, look, my neighbour is serving coffee at 375, I'm going to keep it at 350. And maybe at 350, I'm going to attract more custom. And then maybe that guy who's selling the coffee at 350, his neighbour decides, I'm going to bring it back down to 350. You know, so every reduction in your costs allows you to give better prices. So okay. I think it's valuable.
Will the proof be in the pudding here when it comes to the wider question? And we'll have to talk maybe another day because we're short on time. Tourism an announcement of increase to support tourism activities in this country. More detail to follow on that probably today from the minister. But would you like to see the detail on that as to what will be done in trying to attract people in from the outside and keep the wider tourism ecosystem going for Kerry?
Absolutely. I mean, Tourism Ireland has received a minor increase in their funding, which is very, very important to bring tourism into Ireland. I'm glad to see that there has been money earmarked to bring to attract more routes into Ireland. We're fighting on a global marketplace to attract flights into Ireland, and we need the flights. That's the first point, to have a good, strong tourism product is more flights.
Okay. All right, Tom. Listen, thanks for coming in. Thanks for giving us your view. Tom Randall's there with us on the line. If you have a view on what he had to say on the overall situation with VAT in the budget, then get in touch with us on the programme. We'll have more after we take these. Nothing in this budget for workers. We are a single income family. It's very hard to make ends meet with today's prices. We've had to cancel our VHI because we cannot afford it anymore. We don't qualify for doctor's card because the threshold is too low. Really hope this government gets their head out of the clouds and realise that people are struggling. Another listener says, €5 fuel allowance increase is ridiculous. It should be called the box of firelighters budget, says the Milltown caller. And my goodness, no matter what's done for people, they're complaining. It would seem they want to live in utopia. I watched some of Primetime last night, and there was a pensioner interviewed who was on three pensions, and he was delighted that some of his grandchildren told him as soon as they were finished their third level education, they were getting out of this you-know-what of a country. My goodness, we live in one of the wealthiest countries in the world, and as I said, people want to live in utopia. Okay, keep your views, comments and opinions coming into us on that on the programme this morning. One of those sectors to benefit from that VAT cut is also the hairdressing industry. Sean Taff is with me on the line, owner of Sean Taff Hair and Beauty Salons, Killorglin, Killarney and Tralee. Sean, good morning to you.
Good morning, Jerry. Good morning to your listeners. Thanks for having me on.
How happy are you with the confirmation that that VAT cut is going to apply to your businesses as well and help with your costs?
Absolutely. We're very happy to hear that. Again, it's not happening till next July. So that is obviously kind of very disappointing because a lot of hairdressing salons are struggling. But definitely it is good news for the future.
Are you finding pressures on the other side of things because of energy cost increase, wage increases now to the minimum wage, other issues like that, input costs for your businesses as well?
Yeah, I mean, look, like one of your last callers, I don't want to be the one, with the poor mouth. But I suppose the reality of it is our industry is very much split in two between VAT registered and non-VAT registered within the industry. So there's not a level playing field there. So a lot of the, say, medium and smaller salons are paying VAT, whereas, say, one person operations and stuff are not paying VAT. So it's a very, very two-tier system. And the other thing is then that most of the medium range salons, as in the medium size, are responsible for training the young people coming up into the industry. And we all know that's a huge cost on salons,
Okay, and that's one thing that you would welcome. Are you finding, Sean, that when it comes to the cost of living and the price increases people are facing, especially after a couple of tough years of high inflation, that people are going to the salon less?
Yeah, I mean, look, obviously people are having to structure around their budgets. I suppose that's the thing about it. All, as you mentioned a minute ago, all costs are increasing. But I suppose we have a glass ceiling there that, we can't increase our prices because on the one hand, all the costs are increasing. But the minute the prices go up, you have the comments like rip off Ireland and, we're not competitive, et cetera, et cetera. So there's a big squeeze there for salon owners and I'm sure coffee shop owners and restaurants, et cetera.
All right, Sean, listen, we'll leave it there. Thanks so much for talking to us and giving us your review on it this morning. The Sean Taff of Sean Taff Hair Salons with us on the line talking about what it means for them. Give us your opinions and your views on 0667123666. From there, we're going to go for the Minister for State Department of Agriculture, and that's Minister Michael Healy-Ray. Minister Healy-Ray, good morning to you and thanks for joining me in the programme.
Good morning, Jerry, to you and your listeners, and thank you for the opportunity.
I want to talk to you first of all about the Department of your department, basically there's a capital programme of €335 million, €2.3 billion for the Department of Agriculture, Food and the Marine. It's spread over a number of different areas. I know there's increases in the acres funding to increase by yes. €20 million to €280 million and other things like that. Are you happy with what you were able to negotiate in this budget is my yes. first question.
Yes, I was. And the first most important message to give to farmers in Kerry, no matter what type of farm you're doing, whether it's beef, whether it's dairying, whether it's suckler cows or beef production, there was talk over the last couple of weeks, and it was reported in different outlets, that in other words, that because of the TB eradication programme and the fact that TB is such a big problem, that in other words, certain programmes were going to be robbed of money to put money in place for TB. Now, that thankfully didn't happen, and that took negotiations, and I'll be blunt about it, it took long and hard hours. So we have a very much increased funding for TB eradication. But at the same time, the sheep welfare schemes, all of the other schemes, the envelope of money that we had before, right? We'll say our livestock schemes, call that €131.8 million. There's not a euro being taken from that. I needed money for reconstitution. Remember, we had 26,000 acres of timber knocked in this country. I needed money to fund those. I'm going to have that money, but I'm not taking it from anywhere else. For instance, if we take farm safety, I had €2.5 million for farm safety. You know as good as any one of us how important that is. I got an extra 500,000. That means we have €3 million for farm safety. That's to go into schools. It's to do health welfare checks in all our mats throughout the county and throughout the country. So, yes, we had to micromanage every penny, but we protected what people already have. And we've enhanced the schemes that we needed to put money in to help. Because, TB was at 4.2, now we're up on 6.7%.
€157 million for TB. Will that get it under control? Would that be your hope?
Well, what I'd say to you right away is already measures that have been taken, we've started to arrest those figures. Like, we were as high as 6.7, and already we're starting to reduce. So, and there's going to be hurt. And every farmer that knows what they're talking about, they'll know what I mean by this. We're all going to pay a price for TB eradication. In other words, it's going to be awkward. There's going to be more testing. But, Jerry, we can fight about it. We can complain about it. Because one of the worst things that can happen to any hardworking farmer or family is to have TB come into themselves or their neighbours. Because of the restrictions, if I get TB and Jerry's next door to me, I'm an awful bother to you, then Jerry. So we just have to work together on this. And I'm glad to say that we're not robbing any of our other schemes. And there was an awful lot of worry. And when it comes to horticulture, we have people in Kerry who are involved in horticulture. And I've ensured that I have a proper, I have €8.8 million for horticulture in 2026. That recognises the continuing government support and the support that I personally have for horticulture. So the sectors that I'm directly in charge of, to be blunt about it, I'm one of the very few departments that has actually got an increase in every sector that I'm directly responsible for myself. But I'm not doing that at the cost of any other part of agriculture. So I'm very happy about that.
Okay, what do you say to people who feel disappointed, frustrated, that they're the ones who are getting out of bed early to work in the morning, they're working hard, they're continuing to face price increases, whether it's health insurance, other areas of their life that's gone up, the food costs, what they go to the supermarket and buy has gone up, the price of a pound of butter, and now this morning they wake up and they find they have to pay 2.5 cents per litre more to get where they need to go to get those jobs done. What's your response to that criticism?
Well, I'm delighted that you raised that matter with me because, you know, I don't talk about people, Jerry, when they're not on the radio to defend themselves. But when somebody says something that's not factual and not true, I have to take that on. And I'm a quiet person, but, you know, it is like a quiet person, you can only push them so far. Pat Daly put out a press release last night or a thing on Facebook or something to anyone that would listen to it. And what he exactly said was the Healy Ray brothers are voting for and supporting an increase in carbon taxes tonight. And in other words, we're supporting it in this in this budget, right? That is factually incorrect, and Pa knows it's incorrect, and everybody in Kerry knows it's incorrect when I tell the truth. The truth is, there was 5 votes last night inside in this Dáil. There was no vote on carbon tax, quite simply because that vote took place 3 years ago, in 2021 and 2022. At that time, I did not support those carbon increases because I didn't believe in them, I didn't agree with them, neither did Denny Healy-Ray. We were completely and absolute, and the young Healy-Ray councillors and Speedy Nolan and Sam Locke, the whole lot of us, we were against it. But what has happened is, it was locked, we had a vote, we were against it, and we lost that vote. So at that time, the carbon tax increases are locked in until 2030. Whether I'm in government or not, those charges, those increases are coming in. So I didn't support them last night because they weren't voted on.
You could have walked away, Minister. You could have said, look, I'm not happy. This needs to be reversed.
Jerry, you're a sensible man. There wasn't a vote in it last night.
No, so but I make the point remains the same, though. You'd have to contest the point. You're supporting a government that's continuing to bring it in. It could be reversed if they wanted to reverse it.
Your point is nonsense because there wasn't a vote on it. You're a practical man, and you won't mislead people now on this.
I'm not trying to mislead people, but I'm trying to talk about the wider question of it, which is what Deputy Daly was talking about.
Well, okay, are you telling me so? A vote that took place in 2022 that's locked in until 2030 that can't be voted on again, whether I'm in government or not, there can't be a vote on it. And Pa Daly can tell all the misleading statements he likes. We didn't vote for it last night because the only time we could vote on it was 3 years ago, and we voted against it at a time when Sinn Féin were actually looking for it to be increased. But the facts are, we didn't vote for it last night because it wasn't there. So I'm using my position within government. And if you look at the increases, we'll say, for instance, you know that there was talk of the welfare increases being €8 per week. I fought diligently, and I was looking for €12 per week. And what we had to settle on was 10. But I played my part, and I'm only a small cog in a very big wheel. But I punched above my weight in this budget, and the facts are there in the proof of the pudding is in the eating, and you can see where we made what I'd call a sensible input. And I want to finish one other point, because another mistruth that was told, and this is terribly important, is about the Killarney bypass. And that's the wrong word. It's the Kerry-Cork Economic Corridor. Pa Daly is telling anybody that will listen, oh, the Rays are misleading people, there's €1 million. Well, I'm very sorry, Pa, and to anybody that will believe him, you're wrong. The reason you're wrong is because you don't know anything about it. What Kerry County Council are spending this year on the bypass is €3 million. If the people of Killarney were waiting on Sinn Féin in Kerry to deliver a bypass, there wouldn't be a bypass. The reason why Pa is so unsure about it and misleading about it is because he doesn't know the facts. The facts are, we ensured there is €3 million being spent. There will be further funding. He's trying to say there was no mention of it in the budget. There wasn't a mention, because again, if he knew anything, he'd know that it is there in black and white. We have ensured that it's going to be in the National Development Plan. And I'm telling you, the National Development Plan isn't announced yet. But I can tell you the Kerry-Cork Economic Corridor will be in it. I'm 100% sure it'll be in it because we're going to make sure it's in it. And the proof of the pudding is already there was little or no money spent on that project. And all of a sudden now, this year, Kerry County Council are spending €3 million. And they'll have more next year and more the year after. And we will put a bypass. The people of Killarney and everywhere in Kerry are choked up when they're trying to get through Killarney town. If the people inside in Killarney see in their cars this
that.
Evening, we're
let
relying
me get back
on
to that
Paddy,
point, though.
Yeah.
Let me get that back to that point. You're saying the vote was done years ago, nothing you can do about it now in terms of carbon tax. But was that what was put before the electorate before the election last year when you said support us if we are, when you were negotiating government, people would have said, I'm going to vote for them because they're against the carbon tax. Now you're saying, oh, there's nothing we can do about it for the next 5 years. Is that what they voted for when they thought you were going into government, given you were so opposed in opposition?
In 2022, that was the one time you could do something about carbon. And I and the group that I was in, and along with Denny Healy-Ray...
Yeah, no, I understand that, Michael. But the point he's making is you're in power and you're saying, I'm powerless, there's nothing I can do.
But Jerry, it is locked in. There can't be a vote on it until 2030. So what would you rather for me to do?
When it comes it's to not me. I'm just saying what the perception of the voters is. The point Pat Daly's making. He's saying you could do something about it, but you chose not to. You're saying,
what could I do?
I'm powerless.
What could I do? Do the same as him and put up something that's misleading on Facebook last night and say, oh, the government are voting in this tonight. They didn't vote it in last night. It was voted in 3 years ago. And it's locked in place and there can't be another vote. You made a very, very sensible statement there a minute ago. You were alluding to, oh, could something have been done last night about the carbon tax? They couldn't. You went in, there was 5 votes. No one of them related to carbon. But if you looked at his Facebook last night, you'd swear to God that the people were going in voting last night. That's misleading, and it's wrong.
He wants you to put out a government in objection to the very idea of carbon tax. The way it's being spent, the fact it's being posed because it adds money on. That's what he wants.
So that I could... Yes, he wants me to be the same as him, which in effect is useless. Because all he's doing is shouting about everything. Did you talk about... Tom Randles was on the radio there a minute ago. Tom Randles was talking about the 9%, the reduction in the VAT. He welcomes that. Paddy Ailey's against that. What has Paddy Ailey got against hairdressers? What does he not like about our small trippers? There was a lot of talk yesterday about the fact that people in the hospitality will say the big burger lands and McDonald's and all these, that they're going to benefit. You and I are from Kinnear and Kilgarvan. We are very fortunate that we have small, what I call, cheaper outlets. They're going to benefit from this. Not everybody is a McDonald's. An awful lot of the businesses in Kerry, the small outlets, they're family businesses. And I support the fact that they are going to have a reduction in their VAT. Paddy Ailey's against this. Sinn Féin are against it. So they are going to vote against. And also, he's against the fact that 9,000 people will receive residential care they need. He's against the fact
He's against the way the money's being spent, is what I'm saying.
Michael, we're
way over time. My thanks to you for giving us your view on it this morning. Minister.
I'm sorry we don't have more time. Because I have a lot more to say.
Indeed, and we'll get to that over the days and weeks to come, I'm sure. Minister Michael Healy-Ray, my thanks to you. That's what Michael Healy-Ray had to say. Deputy Anne Healy-Ray has sent in a statement as well. He says, there are many things that I welcome in this budget, but also a good few things I'm disappointed with. I welcome the capitation grant for schools, extra funds for sheep farmers, 85 million, 157 million overall for TB, and the VAT reduction rate in departments and the hospitality sector. I'm very disappointed with the means test for carers allowance was not removed completely, as this should not be treated as a social welfare payment. Carers are working hard day and night for caring for their loved ones. Nothing has been done for the ever-increasing cost of electricity that have gone through the roof and people in fear of having electricity turned off as they're struggling to pay bills. I'm disappointed there's nothing for working class people. They continue to go out and work in the morning early until late nights and continue to pay all the cost, the taxes, high fuel costs increased again in this budget to get to work and nothing in return from the government. It is not fair. They don't qualify for a medical card or benefit in any way. The working people are getting disheartened and may feel we'd be better off not working as there's little left at the end of the week. I'm also disappointed the way some of the carbon tax was spent in the name of active travel, the road into Killarney being narrowed and the footpaths are now wider than the road and carriageway. I welcome funding of $27.4 billion for health, but it must be spent carefully to ensure people get more respite to be put in place for those caring for loved ones. That's what Danny Healy-Ray had said today. We'll talk to him, no doubt, and Deputy Michael Cal as well about the budget as the days go on. We'll get to those things and more. Your questions after we take these.
The budget on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Keller O'Shea, Chartered Accountants and Statutory Auditors, with offices in Tralee and Castle Island.
Now, lots of your views and comments coming in relation to the budget of 2026. Jerry, as a carer, nothing was delivered to the people that can't work personally. I feel we were neglected by our government, even down to single people who are carers. Saving the government millions, they've left us down. Okay, that's one view. Look, you might not feel that enough has been done, but there was a 10-euro increase in the carer's allowance, which is part of the social welfare increases. So not exactly accurate to say nothing was delivered. Maybe not enough or nowhere near enough from your point of view. What about the rural rural pubs, no supports again. Rural pubs are vital social hubs that foster community connection and combat rural isolation by providing a meeting place for locals. Another caller remembers working in the 1980s when they had to pay 60% in tax and 8.5% in PRSI. That's 68.5p out of every pound. Can you imagine that? And we could not do nothing about it, only pay it, as the country was in dire straits at the time. Hi, Jerry. Ask Minister Norma Foley about school dental service. My son hasn't been seen in 4 years by a school dentist. Private dentists are so expensive, I can't afford to attend one with my children. I got in the van to go to work this morning at 5:30 a.m. and said to myself, why am I actually doing this? Not worth it. And the budget took from us again. Norma Foley's Fianna Fáil sound bites about unprecedented and moving forward nonsense. Pascal Dunhu is like a chicken licking. The sky is falling in and we have to save for when it all goes wrong. If you manage the economy right, it won't go wrong. Restaurants will not pass on their windfall either. They are too stretched. Time to catch a flight, I think, to somewhere where they appreciate hard work. Okay, very annoyed caller, Catherine. Hairdressers hiked their prices by 50% after COVID. Despite receiving money during the lockdowns, they never reduced these prices. Will they drop their prices now after this VAT cut? Jerry, Minister Norma Foley is talking baloney. Good for the chip chops and hairdressers. What about the people driving 100 plus miles a day for work? We are down at least 2,000 a year. It's time to block every town in this country and let the government know we want them out. No hospitals, no doctors, nurses, teachers, all going abroad, all because of the misery caused by this government. And Jerry, tell Minister Foley to promote the old courthouse and post office available land to Jim O'Callaghan, not the Island of Geese site. Okay, if you have a view on any of that, get in touch with us on either numbers. Any questions for James Kelleher, Chartered Accountant, is with me from partner Kelleher O'Shea, Chartered Accountant of the Registered Auditors. James, good morning to you and thanks for joining me on the programme. I suppose the first thing to say is there's almost no need for the old traditional budget calculator to tell you if you're better off or worse off if you're a taxpayer, because not much has changed at all, has it?
No, and I suppose that is disappointing, Jerry. If anything, there'll be certain people that will be slightly worse off come next year, because there has been PRSI increases as well that were brought in previous budgets that are become effective from the 1st of October. So the employee PRSI has gone up from 4.1% to 4.2%, and the movement in the USC bands from next January won't negate that for certain people. So people might actually see a slight decrease when there was no movement in the tax bands.
Yeah, in their take home, which will be frustrating given that there has been, you know, all right, inflation is down, but there are things that are going up. Insurance premiums, health insurance in particular, and food is still going up. The cost of the things you buy in the supermarket is still increasing.
Yeah, I think the headline inflation percentage figures are coming down, but obviously we're at a lot higher base in terms of where prices are at. So people are still feeling a lot of pain and prices are still going up. And people probably aren't getting more money into their pocket to deal with that.
Okay. People asking questions. James, when will the pension be increased? Do we have to wait until next year? Another listener says, I'm trying to find out, will the old age pension, €10 per week, will be paid? Any ideas?
Yeah, 1st of January. So fuel allowance, those social welfare hikes aren't coming until 1st of January. And as you were mentioning before I came on, in relation to carers, some of that income disregard isn't actually coming until next July. So a bit of a wait for certain people.
Oh yeah, that's the income. That is that up to 1,000 for a single couple, or single and 2,000 for a couple.
Yeah. So that's effective
not
until July.
Okay, all right. So that's a bit of a sunset clause in that one, or a post dating of the check, right? I should say on that one. Regarding the budget, it said USC concession for full medical card holders and those that earn less than €60,000 per year. What does that mean? Also, when will the €5 extra fuel allowance be starting? The fuel allowance one, that's from Mary, by the way. That's 1st of January anyway.
Fuel allowance and the old age pension increase is 1st of January. The USC concession is for those over 70 years of age. They only pay USC at 2% on the basis that their total aggregate income is 60,000 or less.
Okay, another question. Will the €500 for student fees come off this year's bill, 2025 to 2026? Now, I would have thought that would have been at... Is it the 2,000 or the 3,000, or is that all for next year, James?
The 500. So it went from 2,000 back up to 3,000
this year,
and that €500 doesn't come into play until the 1st of January again.
Okay, all right. So that'll be for the next year's college year, I suppose, starting in September 2026.
Yes.
Okay, all right. Is there anything in the pipeline regarding help for pensioners paying property tax, says Pat? And this is an important one as well, because there's a new revaluation period kicking in from the 1st of November for the next number of years, but the bands have been changed as well in advance of that.
Yeah, so like at the moment, people are probably getting letters or have got letters in terms of reevaluating their property prices, so they can either log in or fill out the paper form that they've been sent out. That is for the period 2026 to 2030, but the valuation period is November. So they're currently in play, and as you point out, and the way property prices have gone, Jerry, most of the property LPT rate will actually go up for most people.
Yeah, so you'll be paying more since the last time, because the average, I think, is 25% of an increase in property prices since then, and they're showing no signs of slowing down either. So that's something that people have put. But the rates, the bands have been widened to try and ameliorate that somewhat, but there will be some level of an increase for everybody, you think?
Look, I think there will be. I just think the way, since the last revaluation date, I think property prices have increased, as you've pointed out. I think the market will dictate that, and it'll be hard to get away from some level of an increase for the majority.
Yeah, and that as well, I suppose, comes down to a decision, I suppose, for local authorities as to what they'll do in varying the rates in each local authority. So it'll be a question for our councillors to answer as they come around to voting for that in the next month or so.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. That's all part of it. Listener gets in touch and says, who is eligible for the living alone allowance? Can that be explained, please? Well, it's a number of different qualifying payments. You must live completely alone. However, there are some exceptions, I understand, in relation to that. If you're living in an extension of a family member's home, in a granny flat, you can qualify if you show that you have facilities to cook and eat alone. You may also qualify living alone if you're aged or infirm and have a friend or relative stay for security reasons at night time only. And the increase may also be payable if you live alone during the day but stay with relatives or friends at night again for security reasons and things like that. So there's a number of different issues when it comes to that.
Yeah, I think you've covered that all in that there, Jerry.
Yeah. And it's an extra payment, of course, for people on social welfare payments who are living alone. If you are 66 years or over and live alone, you will qualify if you're getting one of the following payments as well. Just to reiterate, if you're getting a state pension, contributory or non-contributory, the widow or widowers or surviving civil partners contributory pension, the widow's pension under the occupational injuries benefit scheme, the incapacity supplement, or what's called the deserted wife's benefit as well. So you'll qualify as well. And you'll also qualify if you're on disability loan, invalidity pension, incapacity supplement, or the blind pension. So those are the other things to know in relation to that. And that is another point about it, I suppose. James, look, when it comes to this, there's an important thing to remember as well with this budget, is that things that were announced over the last number of years also kick in, like they're multi-year budgets now. So people will have to watch out for those sort of issues as well when it comes to their tax or in terms of their payments that they might be getting or expecting, that it comes in to it's not just for this year, it's for the next year or two, or last year's announcement may affect what you get this year.
Yeah, and I think if you were just to listen to the budget speech, obviously the stuff that has already been announced is glossed over or not even mentioned. So the likes of PRSI, both employee and employer, has increased from the 1st of October earlier last week. So that has already come in, and people will automatically see an impact on their pay slips this week or at the end of the month. That also has a knock-on impact for employers, that employers' PRSI has got up again. Now they would have known about it, but they may have forgotten about it. And then you bring that in along with the minimum wage going up in January, auto enrolment coming in January, and just generic rising costs. So all that feeds into that, and no movement in bans or credits from personal tax, which in my view makes the country less competitive and is probably encouraging more younger people to look elsewhere.
Yeah, that might be the case as well. On the other side of it, there was a good bit done in terms of succession for farmers and for businesses as well. I know they extended a number of the reliefs that are there and renewed some of them as well.
Yeah, so
to
there was
encourage a lot, people to stay on and transfer businesses.
Yeah, so I think a lot of the reliefs that are in place have been extended. So there really hasn't been a lot of movement in them. Like in terms of inheritance tax, you know, there's been crying out for increases in rates and bans in terms of inheritance tax as well, especially the way property prices have been moving. We're still a long way behind where we were back in the mid-2000s, and property prices have surpassed where they were leading into the last bust. The one thing that was welcome was the entrepreneur relief finally moved from the 1 million lifetime threshold to 1.5 million. So if somebody was to sell their business and qualify for entrepreneur relief, that's effectively a 10% capital gains tax on the first 1.5 million versus 1 million previously.
At which they pay the higher rate of tax on that. So that's a benefit for that from that point of view. Okay, James, listen, we're out of time in it, but thanks a million for answering all those questions for me this morning. That's James Kelleher, who is a chartered accountant and partner at Keller O'Shea, chartered accountants and registered auditors, talking about some of the other questions that are coming in relation to budget 2026. Keep your views coming into it. We will be talking more, of course, as more falls out of the budget, more detail becomes available on our programme tomorrow. So stay tuned for that. We'll get to lots of your comments and views. If you have any questions for Tony McGinley for a problem shared, maybe not your financial problems, but other problems, get him into us now because he's on the way next.